But I bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. The Word of God says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. By grace are you saved." Now, the word "saved" is referring to more than just the salvation of my soul. That is a very elementary and basic understanding of the word "saved." True, but not complete. Saved is any form of deliverance in my life. Saved is anything that I need from God in my life. By grace are you saved. So what is it that does things in my life? It's the grace of God. Anything that happens, anything that I am, anything that I get, it's all grace. Because I have personally absolutely deserved nothing, and you haven't either. It is all grace. Not by yourselves. Not by yourselves. It's all grace. That means that I produce nothing. Grace produces everything. It's all grace. There are certain ways of grace. The reason why there are ways of grace is because in Hebrews 4:16, grace is a throne. A throne is a seat of government. Grace is what the government of God is established on. The practical manifestation of the government of God in a believer's life is grace. To walk in grace means that I'm walking in the practical, effective influence of God's government in my life. And there I have grace. People are afraid of grace. They're thinking that grace is going to be used as a license to sin. They don't know what grace is. Nobody who has ever walked in the government of God has sinned. Only those who walk apart from the government of God sin. Some people will say, "I will walk apart from the government of God and enter into the government of the law." Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, that is the strength of sin, and that is death. So I don't walk in anything other than grace. Now, what is the foundation of that government? God's divine unmerited favor toward men. God gives me what I don't deserve. Now, I never deserved anything. That is why I'm qualified for everything. If I deserved anything, I would have eliminated myself. I would have disqualified myself for that thing. I'm a sinner. You're perfectly qualified. I'm wicked. You're perfectly qualified. God gives you a call. "God, I'm inept. I'm not capable. I cannot do it. I have nothing in myself." That makes you qualified for grace. Because it does never you doing anything anyway. Do you understand this? Believers give this a nod, but they don't actually believe this. That they are capable of nothing. Isn't this what Jesus said in John chapter 15? "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, they'll give it a nod because it's in the Bible and they'll give it intellectual consent, but in their heart, they say to themselves, "Well, I have to do it. I have to take care of it. I have to be the one who produces it. How are things going to get done?" There's a difference between responding to a call and trying to produce a call. People think that they will produce a call when all they have the ability to do is to respond to a call. In other words, God says, "I believe," and respond in faith response. That's responding. So God gives me a call, I believe Him, and I respond in faith response. How does this look? Let's say that God calls somebody to be a pastor. Well, if a person is called to be a pastor, to keep things in the proper order of God, they better get trained. Because God trains pastors. He trained Paul personally on the backside of the desert for 3 years. Jesus and Paul, face to face. God trained Paul to be a pastor. Paul trained Timothy and Titus to be pastors. They didn't say, I'm going to be a pastor, now I'm going to pastor. I don't need the training, I'm just going to take the office. That's like a soldier who never goes through training. The office is going to be too big for you because you don't know how to walk in that office. Well, I was raised by a pastor. I heard that once. Well, I was raised by a pastor, therefore I don't really need to be trained to be a pastor. Okay, I was raised by a soldier, therefore I never need to be trained to be a soldier. Oh, I can just pick up the M16 and go running out in the battlefield and do just as well as the person who raised me, although I was never trained. That's foolishness. Well, you know what that is? It's pride. No, I respond to a call. So if God, for example, calls me to be a pastor, I'll go to Bible college. That is a faith response to a call. That's not making the call happen. That's responding in grace, because the government of grace has initiated a plan in my life. That's responding in grace to the call He has given. I'm to be a pastor? Okay, I'm going to go get trained. It's like getting a call to be a soldier. I find it amazing how people would never confuse what you need to do to be a soldier, but they completely confuse the things of the spirit life. Joanna, you're a soldier. Can you imagine if you were ever called on the battlefield, going out there without your training? Would you, I mean, in all honesty, would you even, as she's shaking her head, no. Would you be able to say that you'd know how to handle a gun now that you have been trained? Yeah, you'd have some ability. You'd need practice, right? But you'd have some ability to handle the gun that you've been trained with, right? Before you were trained, would you be able to handle a gun? No, you'd probably do what I would do. You'd look at the M16 and probably point it the wrong way. Well, maybe not that bad, but you wouldn't really be able to use it, right? All right. Soldiers need training. If you're called to be a soldier, it doesn't take a lot to figure out you get trained. That you have to have a response to the call. By grace, I'm called into what I'm called into. And I respond in faith to that calling by grace. That is operating in the grace of God. The reason why we can take steps of faith is because grace has given a call. The reason why we can take steps into things that don't apparently seem to make any sense is because grace has given a call. God will back what grace calls. He'll always back up what grace calls. Why? Because grace is His government. And when that operates in my heart, and the heart of other Spirit-filled believers, then the body of Christ becomes an effective machine, an effective organism. That organism is able to then reach the world. Not because we say to ourselves, I'm going to reach the world. Because we say to ourselves, grace has given me a call. And I'm going to operate in that call, no matter what that call happens to be. Grace has given me a call. Whatever it is in your life, it's by grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't say, I am what I am because I earned it or by my own efforts. Paul would say he most definitely did not earn it. He called himself the chief of sinners and the least of the apostles. He didn't feel like he deserved his call. He knew that grace called him. The government of God had initiated a plan in Paul's life, and he became the great apostle. The government of God initiates a plan in people's lives, and their lives take on eternal meaning and purpose. However, it is entirely possible for me to step out from the government of God. Such a person is living in failure of the grace of God. In other words, they fail to operate in the government of God. Now, that government of God is not only restricted to what I do. It incorporates all the aspects of my life. The government of God has something to say about every detail in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that I am paralyzed. Sometimes believers want to be paralyzed. They have the smallest, really trivial decision. Should I eat this or should I eat that? And they become paralyzed because they don't know what God would have for you to eat. God, you just eat something. Simple as that. What did God say to Peter? Kill and eat. He didn't say kill and eat this one and only that one, but not those over there. Yet believers try to get nitpicky with grace. That can't happen. Believers get nitpicky with grace. The reason is because they're not yet comfortable with operating in grace. They don't understand the nature of the government. God does have a will for my details, but sometimes, whether it's blue or brown, doesn't make any difference. And so in those types of details, God says, whichever. I just want you to whatever. Go get a car. Blue or brown? Grace allows me freedom to be a human being while still being completely under the control of God. We think that we lose our humanity because God is in control. We don't lose our humanity. Grace brings out the design of humanity. In other words, how does grace work? I'm not saying that grace operates to a level and below that level it doesn't operate. I'm saying that as a believer operates in grace, they become spirit-filled. And as their human spirit fellowships with the Holy Spirit, they make choices in their details, and they make the right choices. There is a certain point where God says, rely on your communion with me, without me having to speak to you. Now, God does speak to believers and He leads them. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when a believer becomes spirit-filled and has the mind of Christ, they're able to choose according to the mind of Christ. They're able to operate in such a way that it is the will of God without great thundering and lightning coming down to show them. They simply know because they have communed. When I see someone who's like, I don't know if this is the will of God, or I don't know if that's the will of God, I don't know if that's the will of God, and I don't know if that's the will of God, and it's something like in the details of their life, that shows me somebody who loves God but doesn't know how to commune with Him. Their spirit doesn't fellowship that intimately with His. Now, often that's just a question of growth. That's not a question of being condemned by anything. It's a question of growth. But when the human spirit habitually communes with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit's mind is that believer's mind. And what seems trivial, and maybe it even is, will actually be the selections of God, because the mind that I have is the mind of Christ. And so I simply think like a normal person. I go out, maybe I go, I don't know, shopping for clothes. I say, I wish God would give me, well, pick something. You see, if you have that communion with the Holy Spirit, you won't have to worry about God would give you. You can just pick something. And because you have the Word resident in your heart, you won't pick the wrong thing. I think our ladies are like this. They go out, they go clothes shopping, and they pick clothes that are always attractive and always modest and always make them look like genuine ladies. Why? Because they have the mind of Christ for this. I don't know, I haven't gone shopping with them, but I honestly don't think they, well, maybe they do spend 2 hours wrestling this one or that one, this one or that one. Well, maybe they do. The way they're looking at me, they do. Guys are much easier than that. I need a shirt, there's a shirt. That's good enough. And they don't look so good as the ladies do. But you know what I'm saying. When I have the mind of Christ, grace is operating in me. And I have the mind of Christ because I'm fellowshipping with the Spirit. I no longer have to struggle to try to know what is right from God. I simply know it. When a believer needs to grow in that area, often they'll struggle which one's right from God without actually knowing. They can't choose. Because they're afraid of choosing wrong because they don't trust the mind of Christ that's in them. Trust the mind of Christ that's in you. Otherwise, you're going to become double-minded. Trust the mind of Christ that's in you. He'll never go against His Word. He'll never say to somebody, for example, be modest. He'll never say to somebody, go out and sin. But trust the mind of Christ that's in you. It'll help you to relax. I think very often as young people who love God are growing, but this can happen to older people. Young people, I'm talking about people who are young in the Lord, or young in terms of doctrine. As people are growing who are like that, they can get very uptight and very anxious about their choices. Just trust the mind of Christ that's in you. And you'll be able to relax. Know that if you've asked Him, He will direct your steps. The reason why He directs your steps is because He lives in you. He's not a distant God, He's a resident God. So you can trust what He does for you, that grace will have its effect in your life. I can strive and get anxious and all I like, but it's not going to help me any. But simply trust the mind of Christ in you. In order to trust the mind of Christ in you, foster it. Get doctrine. Show up in church when church is going on. If God leads, take some Bible college classes, especially now that they're free on the internet. Stay faithful. If you can be there, be there. Get built up every day. Don't tell yourself, I don't have time. Make time. If you say to yourself, I don't have time to get built up today, that means you've got the wrong priorities. Whatever it is that's so important is less important than that getting built up, because God can take care of your needs. Just do what God says is right. It's very simple. A life with God is not meant to be complicated. The government of grace is not there to make my life tough. The government of grace takes care of me. It actually makes my life much easier than it used to be. Trying to choose one way or another, if you have the mind of Christ, yeah, you may have to consider and ponder, but it's not torturous. There's a government in you. And the King that is seated on that throne lives inside of you. Trust Him. Trust God's ability on your behalf. That's another thing. Trust God's ability on your behalf. People don't. This is why people get very afraid and anxious. Because they don't either trust His character or trust His ability. You can trust both. Trust God's promises. This is how you live in grace, folks. Trust God's promises. If God gives you a promise, trust Him. Don't get anxious in it. Don't get afraid. Don't get nervous. Don't say how. Just trust Him. Because you're not the one who's being asked to fulfill the promise. He fulfills the promise. It's up to God to do and to will all His good pleasure. He fulfills the promise. So you just go ahead and relax and trust Him. Uptight believers don't glorify God. But a believer who has a relaxed mental attitude, that's what the Word of God says, in all things rejoice. That word rejoice is relax. In everything relax, for this is the will of God. God's will is that you relax. A believer with a relaxed mental attitude is a believer who's going to hear from God. Believers who are consistently uptight won't hear from Him. Because their minds are so loud that they block out the still small voice. But a believer who lives in a relaxed mental attitude because they trust God, they'll hear His voice. They'll ask and He'll answer. They'll get into a situation and He starts leading. All of a sudden they know what to do even though they don't know what to do. But it doesn't come apart from trusting Him, which produces that relaxed mental attitude. Grace takes care of all my needs. That's the way grace operates. Grace takes care of all my needs. Grace never lets a person down. It's a government. It's God's government. A few months ago, when it looked like America could default on the debts, what a scandal that was in the world, that America would default, possibly even to have it considered, would default on debts. What a scandal. If people don't consider it to be scandal to have the notion that God would default on His promises. God can't default on His promises. But people think God will. But He can't. So a person can live in a completely relaxed mental attitude because he is trustworthy. My ability is not trustworthy, either is yours. My way of analyzing, considering, figuring out is not trustworthy, and either is yours. But God is trustworthy. Grace is trustworthy. The finished work is trustworthy. The blood of Christ is trustworthy. So relax. Feel free to trust Him. Because you can. Actually, that's all you can trust. There's nothing else out there that can be trusted. Except the grace and the character of God. That can be trusted. Grace is not the same as works. Why do people try to get into works? Because they don't trust grace. What happened to the Galatians? The Galatians were saved by grace and then they felt that they needed to get their hands on things and really keep their salvation through their works. And God said, somebody bewitched you. You're acting foolish. That means that no matter what it is in my life, grace will take care of me. Absolutely everything in my life, grace will take care of me. Something go wrong in your life, grace will take care of you. Did you fail? Did you sin? Grace will take care of you. Did you come up short? Grace will take care of you. Are circumstances hard? Grace will take care of you. Somebody coming against you, grace will take care of you. Lose your family, lose a loved one, maybe somebody died, grace will take care of you. You're sick, grace will take care of you. Having problems, grace will take care of you. Do you get it? Grace will take care of you. God's grace is greater than my needs. God's grace is greater than my failures. God's grace is greater than my weaknesses. God's grace is greater than my insufficiency. God's grace is greater than the things that challenge me. God's grace is greater than other people. God's grace is greater than adverse circumstances. Get this, God's grace is greater than government. It is the ultimate government. Whatever it is, God's grace will take care of you. God's grace orchestrates your lives. You don't even have to think about it. But think, for example, what brought you even here? I mean, we've got people in this place from all over. What brought you here? And why were you even born? How did that happen? I mean, how many people have parents that are like from other sides of the country or even other sides of the planet? How did that happen? How is it that you even exist? How did that happen? You know why? It was the grace of God orchestrating a plan to cause you to be alive. And then to bring you into a call. You know when it started? Well, when God said, "Let there be," before there was, that was the initiation. Let there be. That's when it started. Because think about it, folks. Imagine if, let's say, Japheth did not go to the area of Europe, son of Noah. What if he went somewhere else? Or if Shem did not go to the Middle East, or Ham didn't go to Africa? What if they went somewhere else? What if Japheth went over to China? Would you be here? You see, the grace of God has orchestrated from long ago all the things that got you to this point. And it's still orchestrating every point of your life. Grace can be trusted. Trust it. There's a government that belongs to God. There's a throne that He sits on. That is the throne of grace. By the way, when we're seated above in heavenly places, we are also seated on the throne. That's the throne of mercy. So the throne of grace is God's throne. The throne of mercy is my throne. That's why the throne of mercy is covered in the blood. The throne of grace is not. The throne of grace initiated the throne of mercy. The throne of grace initiated the blood that covers me. The throne of grace initiated the cross. The throne of grace initiated everything that I need that it should be provided for me. The only thing that I need to do is respond to grace. Don't be afraid to trust grace. Do you understand that? Don't be afraid to trust grace. It is real. It is tangible. And it acts on your behalf. It doesn't act on somebody else's behalf, though it does. But in your life, in your frame of reference, don't hesitate to say, "The throne of grace will act on my behalf." And don't worry about how it acts on somebody else's behalf. Isn't that what Jesus said to Peter? When Peter asked him about John, "What shall that man do?" in John 21. And Peter said, "What is that to you? You follow me." Don't worry. Don't say to yourself, "Well, it's unfair that I get grace." How many people have this strange concept of fairness? God's not interested in fair. God's interested in you. If God was interested in fair, I wouldn't be saved. Because it was not fair that my sins be put on Christ. He had no sin. So never say to yourself, well, that's not fair that I'm getting something, or that's not fair what's happening. God has no interest in fair. God is not fair. God doesn't begin to be fair. God is not interested in fair. Fair is a self-oriented worldly concept. Don't go for fair, go for God. You'll end up much better off, and so will the next guy. You see, when grace is operating in my life, and I have that orientation of grace for me, then I'll also be able to receive grace for you. So don't worry about the fairness of grace. It's a government. Simple as that. It's a government. One of the reasons why people get in a lot of trouble, and it may not be outward trouble, but trouble in their thinking, trouble in their anxiety, is because they don't orient properly to that grace. What is it that's challenging your life? Everybody has something. Grace will take care of it. Whether it seems big or small, that's not relevant. Grace will take care of it. Somebody going away that you didn't want them to go, grace will take care of them. Parents who have kids, the kids are going, living their lives differently than the parents had hoped. Grace will take care of them. How many parents have young kids and they're constantly worried about it? What is this kid going to become? Grace will take care of them. Train them up in the way they should go. Right? Train them up in the way they should go, and they won't depart from it. And grace will take care of them. Don't be afraid. How many parents are there out there who are over-possessive, over-protective of their children? There's a lot. They don't have any problem with training up the child in the way he should go. They have a problem when it's time to stop training. Joanna, when you were in basic training, was there a day that it ended? Funny, isn't it? The government said, the military said, yep, you got enough, you're on your own now, you can handle it. They trusted the training that they gave them. Yet people don't trust God's training. Trust what God has given. Folks, trust His promises. Trust His promises. There's nothing else in this world that cannot lie. But His promises cannot. Because He cannot. Trust His promises. People are afraid to trust the promises because they can't see the outcome. Or even the process for that matter sometimes. Don't be afraid of time. Time means nothing in eternity. Trust His promises. Trust His character towards you. He is real. He's a real being. He's a real person. He has a real character. He really is who He says He is. Trust His character. He's not going to change on you. He's not going to drop you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to leave you hanging. Trust His character. Trust who He is. Trust what He says. Trust His word. Trust His ways. Sometimes people depart from the ways of God because they don't trust the ways of God to be satisfying. It's because they don't trust the ways of God. They think God won't give me what will fulfill me, and so I'll have to fulfill myself. It's not how it works. God will give you what will fulfill you. As a matter of fact, God's the only one who can. So trust the ways of God. Trust Him for your future. Trust Him for your present. And let Him deal with your past. Trust Him for that also. Trust the blood. How many people live in guilt or shame? Whatever. Trust the blood. That it really did remove everything from you that was not of God. Trust the blood. Trust the things He says. People are afraid to trust Him. Really, if you think about it, the bottom line with all of our problems is that we don't trust Him. We don't trust grace, we don't trust Him. Don't be afraid of anything. Only be afraid of Him. But not in the wrong sense. Be afraid to cross Him. Don't be afraid to crawl in His lap. Trust Him. If God says something, He will do it. He gave all these promises in the Bible, and every one of them is yea and amen. In other words, it will be so. So trust what He says. Trust what He does. Trust what He's done. And entirely trust Him. Trust His grace. Trust mercy. How many people are afraid to trust mercy? Because they think that somehow the wrong things will happen again. Just trust mercy. Mercy is what leads me to grace. So trust mercy. It's mercy by which I enter into that government. So don't be afraid to trust mercy. If you're in a situation that's hard, maybe your health is bad or circumstances are tough or people are coming against you or you're afraid of something, don't be afraid to trust Him. Trust forgiveness for yourself and for other people. Trust what God can do in people's lives. Trust God for your family and your friends, that He'll take care of them. Because if you don't, you'll never operate in grace. Amen.